See them? Turn around, youngins. Their shirts look like dark Pepto-Bismol, but they are, don't let that fool you, they are a mighty, mighty group. This is our group of youngins who went to the D-Now weekend. They're still, is it still going on? I mean, are y'all like just finished in Sunday school? They just finished the D-Now weekend. It's been going since Friday night, went all day and night, Friday and all Saturday, and then tonight it finished, or today it finished. But give them a hand. They've been with each other. This has been good. This is the largest group we've had from Christ Community to go to D-Now, and I'd like to say that the Harrisons, as brave as what they are, hosted this whole group Friday and Saturday. So anyways, big hand for them too. Amen. Woo! And it's Keisha's birthday. I don't see Miss Tina here, otherwise I'd share a little poem with you all, but maybe later. And anyways, look, we got reason to celebrate. This is just good stuff. Whatever you came here with, if you can set it aside and just be like, hey, I don't need all that right now. I'm here to just focus on the Lord Jesus Christ, be here with my church family, and experience God. That's what we're here for right now, okay? That's what this time is for, amen? All right, so youngins, y'all ready? These youngins in front, y'all got, they got somewhere to go. They're building something. So y'all ready, break right here. And then let me pray for y'all as we go into worship. They're building something. Father God, thank you for loving us. Thank you for this time. And we pray as we worship that you'd be glorified, Father. And we look for the blessing, not because we just need to be blessed or greedy, but we know that you are the greater, we are the lesser, and that you have a blessing. You are a blessing. So thank you, Lord. And we give you all the praise in Jesus' name. Amen.
We stand and lift up our hands for the joy. How the Lord hears our worship isn't based on whether we've recently had a cold or not. It doesn't matter. He hears our heart, and he knows what we're praising him for, whether it's just like we planned it to be or whether it's not, whether we stop and cough right in the middle of a song. But the words of this next song I've always loved, and I'm sure you've heard it on the radio. It's a beautiful song. Sing with us, Holy Spirit.
from wherever you've been. Come brokenhearted, let her rescue begin. Come find your mercy, oh sinner, come near. Earth has no sorrow that heaven can't heal. Earth has no sorrow that heaven can't heal.
It's always appropriate in church, if you have business to do with God, this isn't like a much of an altar, but it's a stairs. Truly, Christ is our altar anyways. He's our sacrifice and our altar. But if you need to do business with God and there's a song going, you come up here and do just like what you saw. That's fine. You know, it's always appropriate to do business with God in the house of God, okay? Izzy, stop. Come back. We don't always do this. Turn around. If you can't see Izzy's shirt, I just want to read it to you. It says, "My wife is pregnant. Be kind." When I saw that this morning, I said, "Really? And he said, yeah. So this is this. Anyways, I had to find it. It's not a joke. It is an announcement shirt. You know, if you know Izzy and Crystal, if you're blessed to know them, you know they're unique and they got a great sense of humor. And the last time they announced a pregnancy, they came with it was like a Halloween costume. It's something like bun in the oven, or he was a bun maker. And we're like, and it took us, I remember trying to get, I'm like, what are you? He's like, I'm a bun maker. And you know, and it was just so funny. But anyways, we're blessed. Our congregation is growing the old-fashioned way, and it's an awesome privilege. For Nani's class, did they already break? Ready to break? There's a Nani. And you can tell when the preaching is so good that the children are like, no, we're going to stay with the preacher. We're going to stay with the preacher. That's a high endorsement. It's a high endorsement right there. I like it. We're going to be in the Gospel of Mark. We're continuing in our series, the Gospel of Mark. And so if you have your Bible, turn there. If not, in your handout, there should be a little half sheet. If you got a handout, there should be a little half sheet in there. And it'll kind of give you the outline that I plan to stick to. We'll see how it goes. I'm going to be in Mark chapter 6. I'm going to read verses 35 through 56. And this is how the word of God goes. When the day was now far spent, his disciples came to him and said, "This is a deserted place. Already the hour is late. Send them away that they may go into the surrounding country and villages and buy themselves bread, for they have nothing to eat." But he answered and said to them, "You give them something to eat." And they said, "Shall we go buy 200 denarii worth of bread and give them something to eat?" But he said to them, "How many loaves do you have? Go and see." And when they went, they found they said, 5 loaves, 2 fish. Then he commanded them to make all the people sit down in groups on the green grass. So they sat down in ranks, in hundreds and in fifties. And when he had taken the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, he looked up to heaven, he blessed it, he broke the loaves, and he gave them to his disciples to set before the crowd, and the 2 fish he divided among them all. They all ate and were filled. And they took up 12 baskets full of fragments and of the fish, and now those who had eaten the loaves were about 5,000 men. Immediately he made his disciples get into the boat, go before him to the other side, to Bethsaida, while he sent the multitude away. And when he had sent them away, he departed to the mountain to pray. And when the evening came, the boat was in the middle of the sea, and he was alone on the land. Then he saw them straining at rowing, for the wind was against them. Now about the 4th watch of the night, he came to them, walking on the sea, and would have passed them by. And when they saw him walking on the sea, they supposed it was a ghost, and they cried out, for they all saw him and were troubled. Immediately he talked with them and said to them, "Be of good cheer, it is I, do not be afraid." Then he went up into the boat. He went up into the boat to them, and the wind ceased, and they were greatly amazed in themselves beyond measure and marveled. For they had not understood about the loaves, because their heart was hardened. And when they had crossed over, they came to the land of the Gennesaret and anchored there. And when they came out of the boat, immediately the people recognized him. They ran through the whole surrounding region and began to carry about on beds those who were sick, to wherever they heard he was. Wherever he entered, into villages, cities, or the country, they laid the sick in the marketplaces and begged him that they might just touch the hem of his garment, and as many as touched him were made well. Let me pray for us. Father God, thank you for loving us. Thank you for the wonderful opportunity that we have to come together in the name of Jesus Christ, to sing praises, to respond in prayer and obedience, to hear your word that will not fail. And Father, to glorify you. So would you help us Help us as we hear your word to become the people you would have us to be. That we would be the men and women you'd want us to be in our homes, with our family, with our friends, and in our community. Lord, we love you and we give you all the praise. In Jesus' name, amen. This is a very familiar passage. Y'all have heard about the loaves. Jesus multiplies the loaves. Jesus walks on the water. I'm not going to spend as much time talking just about those things and the particulars of them. I want to hit some things that strike me. And as I was preparing, I hope it will strike you too. And you'll consider what should I do concerning this. The first thing is a check. A check in our own spirit and our own mind. Like to have a review. Like to say, how am I treating Jesus? This passage starts off with the disciples bossing Jesus. It starts off with them commanding Jesus. They tell Jesus, you've had enough time with this group. Hey, Jesus, you might not have known in all your well-meaningness, in all your compassion that you have for this group, it's kind of late, bud. It's kind of irresponsible, too, because all these people, they don't have any food. They're far away. Send them away, you know, so they can go get some bread and they don't faint on the way. They're being very responsible. They're taking the reins, man. Ain't that what we're supposed to do? Cowboy up, make a decision. Take the reins. Jesus, your compassion, Jesus, is fine. But you've overstepped your responsibilities to these people. Now send them away. The reality was, the disciples were tired. They were a little tuckered out. Jesus had brought them about, if you read the passage that we preached last week, he brought them about to have a little rest and talk with them, and they never really got to it. So they were wanting a little private Jesus time. They were tired, and they put that onto him. Okay? And they were like, hey, shorten up what you're going to do so it'll fit better in what my schedule is. And here's the check that I think every Christian person, every church ought to do. Are we allowing Jesus to be boss, or are we trying to boss Jesus? You know, it's real subtle. It can be real easy when we start trying to fit Jesus into our schedule. When we start trying to trap him in our responsibilities. When we start trying to make him think that he's got to do, or we think that he's got to do like we think he ought to do. Jesus is Lord. You know what the word Lord means? Easy translation means boss. He means he's the guy in charge. We don't go up to Jesus and say, look, you've just overstayed. You're overdone. You've got to stop here. In the Message paraphrase of the Bible, it says, this has gone on for long enough. Can you imagine saying to Jesus, this has gone on for long enough. It's time to put an end to this. Jesus is not some half-witted, ditzy celebrity who is really good at what he does but needs a handler to help him with the more responsible things of life. Jesus Christ is the Son of God, the Lord of Lords, and he created all you and me, and he knows time, and he knows places, he knows where to go, he knows what's next. He's all right. He can lead this church. He can lead your life. He can lead those apostles. He can do it all. Jesus is a do-it-all kind of guy. He's pretty awesome. But sometimes we get to thinking we know better than him. How many people in here have ever told Jesus how to heal somebody? Now listen, I know it might sound weird, but we have people we pray for, and we want them to be healed. And so we pray, Lord, I'm praying that you'll heal Aunt Hester. If anybody has an Aunt Hester, I hope she does get healed for real. But this is an example. Oh, Lord, heal Aunt Hester, and what you need to do is you need to go in to her body where her gallbladder has shut down, and you need to take that gallbladder and shake the stones out of it. Flip it, twist it, rip it, pull it out, and heal her up. Look, God knows how to heal your Aunt Hester without you ever telling God how to heal your Aunt Hester. Look, we pray for lost loved ones. Oh, I got this, you know, so-and-so who I love, who I want to know, come to Lord. And all of a sudden we start telling God how to do it. Well, God, first thing what you need to do is you need to bring them to the end of themselves. And then you need to show them your mightiness. And then you need to bring them into church for the revival, for this, and then we start telling God how to reach lost people. Let me tell you who knows how to reach lost people. God knows. Man, we just need to lay our folks before Him and say, Lord, please do what you do in their life. Be who you are in their life. You don't need to tell God how to be God. They didn't need to tell Jesus it was time was up. In order to be responsible, you need to let these people go. Do you know what responsibility was at that moment in time? It was a golden image. It was an idol carved out of human value that they stood up next to Jesus and said, according to our idol, you, real Son of God, need to do what's right. Responsibility can become an idol just as quick as anything. Follow Jesus. Our greatest responsibility is to follow the one who loves us, created us, and saves us. You have no greater responsibility on this planet. Check yourself. Don't make Him fit into your schedule. Follow Him. Be ready to follow Him. Besides, it just doesn't work when we try to lead them. It didn't work for these guys. The responsible thing to do is go tell these guys to get bread. And what does Jesus do? You feed them. They had a cow. Their jaw is on the floor. Again, in the paraphrase version, it says, really? Seriously? You want us to feed this many people? How much money would it take to feed the group we have here right now? I mean, just a regular, let's say, you know, $5 a plate, right? That's pretty cheap, which sounds like a commercial. On January 29th, if you come, you can get a $5 plate. And wow, that worked out perfect. Yeah, that was smooth right there. Anyways, we are having a little singing, a little plate lunch. Anyways, $5. Let's say just $5. We're going to get everybody a $5 value. We're going to go to Burger King. We're going to buy the double Big Mac meal. You get 2 for $10, and we're going to buy that for everybody. How much money did we just spend right now? I mean, just look around, guess. I mean, we spent a good bit of money, didn't we? Okay, in this group, there was 5,000 men besides women and children. Of course the disciples are going to think Jesus is out of their mind because they already don't trust them. They're like, don't you think you've spent too much time? Don't you think you've gone overboard? And He says, you feed them. Now they really are like, oh my goodness. Let me tell you though what happened. Because they go along with them. They snapped back into reality where Jesus is Lord and they are not. And they're willing to say, okay. Okay, Lord. There might be some decisions need to be made today where you stop trying to run your life and run all the things that happen and control all the influences, and you just need to say, okay, Lord, you're right. My bad. You run the whole universe. You tell the stars where to go. You keep everything in line. I guess I can trust you with me. And so I'm going to back off and say, okay, Lord, okay. That's exactly what they got to get to. If you're going to serve Jesus, you need to come to that place where you say, He's Lord, you're not. He's the boss, you're not. He's got the reins. He runs the church. He makes the decisions. He's got the idea on time. He's more responsible than you'll ever be in a billion trillion years. He knows it all. He has the strength for it all. He knows how to multiply bread and fish. Get there in a minute. I don't know how to do that. I don't know how to do. All I know how to do is go buy people food with money. Jesus knows how to make food multiply. That's the guy we want to follow. That's the guy we want to serve, okay? But we got to make that transition. He's the Lord, we're not. And as soon as we start telling Him what to do, we need to slow down. We need to back up. We need to remember who we're talking to, and we need to yield our life to Him. When it comes to serving Jesus, excuse me, I want to speak a little bit about our motivation. See, once they made that transition, they were able, again, to serve Him. In the Christian ministry, we don't serve people because people are needy. We don't serve people because people are starving. We don't serve people because people are all this and that. If you're in a ministry and it's all about doing something for people, you won't be in that ministry for long because you're going to realize people stink. They're ungrateful. They're unappreciative. They're fickle. Just like you. Just like me. These disciples changed the world because they weren't serving people. They were serving Jesus Christ. And as they served Jesus Christ first, they're able to serve people until they died. Not a period in their life. There's a lot of us out here who say, well, I remember when I used to follow the Lord and I served Him so hard with all my heart, with all my soul, with all my money. That was the craziest month of my life. Great. Well, why'd you stop? Let me tell you a guy about a fella, and I think I've told you all this story before. He would come to seminary housing when Sarah and I and the kids were, it was just me, Sarah, and the two boys. We were in seminary. And everybody in seminary is poor. I don't know if that's I don't know if that's like a base qualifier, but that's just how it works out. So you leave whatever job you have, you come to full-time school, and then you start working at part-time churches that have like 8 people and they pay you in chickens and eggs and stuff like that, so you're poor. It's all right, it's just how it works. A guy used to come in with a pickup truck full of dented cans, out-of-date stuff, all this, and he used to give it. And this is what he said. The Lord told me to bring this stuff to y'all. Who told him? He said, the Lord told me to bring this stuff to you all. Thank you, Lord. Amen, hallelujah. I'm in it, man. And we used to go down there, and he had a little sack. We'd fill up a sack, dented green beans, all this stuff, corn, man. That's good stuff right there. Man, we were so happy. That rocked and rolled for about 2 weeks. Guy comes, and I notice he's just kind of frowny-faced. Man, what's the matter? Well, I'm not coming back. How come you're not coming back? He didn't hesitate to tell us. Some ungrateful chump seminary student, preacher boy or preacher boy's wife, done said something stupid to this man. She complained that he didn't have any French cut green beans. So you're getting free food, right? But she decides she's going to make green bean casserole and she needs French cut green beans. You don't have any French cut green beans? Well, see if I get my free food from here anymore. Now, I'm not defending this person. They're dumb as a rock, in my opinion. Got me? Fickle, dumb, just like human beings have a tendency to do and be. But you know what that guy did? He quit. You want to know why? My opinion is this. He wasn't serving the Lord anyhow. His motivation was getting accolades from people. What a good thing you're doing. That's a nice thing. Every time I saw him, man, thank you, brother. Wow, that's great. Thank you. What a good thing you're doing. If you're serving because you're doing a good thing for people, you're going to stop when you figure out people ain't good. But if you're serving Jesus Christ, and through your service to Jesus Christ, He hands you multiplied bread and fish, you are going to go all day long and hand that out to a group of people. You understand the difference? You understand the motivation? Let me serve God who does not change. He's the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. Let me serve the one who said to me through His word, I am going to prepare a place for you. You want to know why I want to serve Christ? Because I'm going to live with Him forever. He's going to prepare a place for me. I love y'all, but y'all ain't going to prepare a place for me in heaven. Y'all cannot secure me in my faith, but He can. I hope I get to serve y'all for a long time, but only as I serve Christ first. Otherwise, somebody, and in 11 years, y'all know what happened, somebody's going to say something dumb to me, and I'm going to say something dumb to somebody. And if we're just serving each other, that's going to all break apart. But if we put the Lord first and say, Lord, give me what these folks need. I'm going to serve you. You want to feed these folks. You know why Jesus told them to give them food? Because He wanted to feed them. You know why He gives preachers messages? Because He wants to feed the people, but we got to serve Him. In your life, you need to serve Jesus. Not your children, Your children will eat you alive. They will take everything you got. Money, house, food, time, sanity. They will eat your lunch. If you live to serve them, you ain't going to live well and long because they're going to eat you alive. I know I'm looking at some people like, my children are so precious. Well, talk to somebody who's got older children. They lose preciousness. They gain problemness. And they still looking to you for answerness. You are not going to be the parent you need to be to your kids unless you serve Christ. And through serving Christ, you serve your kids and grandkids and other people in the right way. Or your spouse or whoever it is. People make awful lords. Let Jesus be your Lord. Let Him in His desire work through you. He wanted to feed these people, so He said to His disciples, you give them something to eat. Woo! But He initiated it. But then He tells them, let me tell you where He said, just look at what you got. Everybody's trying to get something. We are so notorious for wanting what we don't have and thinking we need what we don't have before we can do what we're supposed to do. I would serve Jesus if I had a little more time. I would tithe if I had a little more money. I would do this if I had a little more Bible knowledge. I would witness if I had a little more courage. Oh, lying, liar, liar, liar. Stop lying. I mean, you ain't lying to men, you're lying to God anyway. Stop, stop, stop. If you were going to serve God, you'd be serving Him. He's the God who says, what do you have, not what don't you have? How many loaves do you have? Give them to me, I'll make them more. How many fish do you have? Give them to me, I'll use them. He's not the God that says, you got, well, if you just would get more training, if you just had more time, or you just had more this and that. He's the God who equips you with more stuff. He ain't worried about what you got. He knows what you got. He knew they had 5 loaves and 2 fish. He took them and fed, I almost said 50 million people, but He could have fed 50 million people. It would have been a whole different scene right there. Just a whole landmass. Probably would have shifted Earth off its axis a little more just having all that weight. But anyway, the idea is, don't you worry about what you don't have. Make Jesus Lord. Make that shift. He's Lord, you're not. Catch His desire. He wants to feed these people and have compassion on them. Let Him have the reins. And then just give them what you got. Give them what you got. My goodness. I think about myself. Oh, if I just had, you know, if I just had a little more time, a little more energy. But what if I just give Him what I got? Don't you think He can make something great out of it? Jesus doesn't use great things. He can make things great that you give Him. Do y'all get it? It's like that old saying, He don't call the equipped, He equips the called. So when we step into that, our motivation can be like, well, He knows what I have and He knows me better than anybody else. And then He gives them instruction. But I love this. I love this picture of Jesus taking the bread. The disciples give Him the bread and the fish. He lifts the bread up to heaven. Says, Lord God, maker of heaven and earth, given of bread in its season. And there's actually a prayer, Jewish prayer, that probably He prayed, very similar to even what I just said. Lord God, maker of heaven and earth, giver of bread and this and that in its season, and all this stuff. And then He doesn't go around and give it back to all the people. He gave it to His disciples. His disciples give it to the crowd. That's how He still works that way today. His model is still that way today. If you'll say, you're my Lord, and you give Him what you got, He's going to take it, bless it, and He's going to say, now, this is what we have for you to serve. And if your motivation's right, you're serving Him, not them, not us, not you're serving Him, you get to serve them consequently, okay? You get to serve them because His desire is to fill us, to feed us, to bless us, to bring us onto Himself one day. One day, this word of prophecy will be fulfilled. Now, the tabernacle of God is with men, and He dwells with them, and they will be His people, and He will be their God. That's Revelation chapter 21, I think verse 3. That's going to be a fact, Jack. God's desire is us to be with Him forever. And on earth, during our time, we get to be able to be used by Him somewhat. Isn't that awesome? That's the story of the loaves and the fish. But God, he doesn't really come off of that. He wanted them to learn a lesson, not only about service and motivation, serving him first, but also about confidence, to be confident in Christ. I think that there is a weird lack of confidence that the church has, and we have it because we don't look to him. We look at ourselves, and we realize it's true what the Bible said, not many wise, not many noble, not many rich according to the manners of this world, not many who can just answer all these problems, not always so suave in the pulpit and all this stuff. We have, when we look at each other, it doesn't inspire a lot of confidence. But if we look to Christ, oh, we would be the bravest people on the earth. We wouldn't be afraid to go anywhere. We wouldn't be afraid to talk to anyone. We wouldn't be afraid to give whatever. We would go with him confidently. And he tells a story about him walking on the water. And as he's walking on the water, the disciples see him. And it says they all see him. And they all cried out. And I'm guessing, and this is not to be gender biased, but I'm thinking they screamed like girls. Ah! Like, they're rowing. They're like manly, primal grunts. Waves are beating against the boat. And all of a sudden they see Jesus like, because he always whistles the Irish Spring song or whatever, or if I only had a brain. Anyways, he's whistling, walking on the water, like, ah! You know, just shaking. Ah! You're terrified. Think about it. You see somebody doing something they ain't supposed to be doing like that. People ain't supposed to be walking on water. That'd be like if you're walking around your house and you don't think anybody's there and you turn the corner and somebody's there, like, hello, and you're like, ah! You know, it just like freaks you out. So they're freaked out, right? But they're freaked out for a specific reason. You know, I said when we see somebody not doing what they're supposed to do, but they have already seen Jesus doing things. If they would keep in their mind who it is they're serving, what confidence they would have. See, they were in a boat with him before when there was a bad storm and they thought it was going to sink, and he got up and he said, "Shut up!" And it was still. They've seen him when he's confronted a man that was filled with 1,000 demons. And he says, "Get out!" And they got out. He's seen when he walked up into the bedroom with the mom and dad of a daughter who has died. And he said, "Don't worry about it. I got this." And he said, "Talitha kumi," which means little girl lamb, little sheep, rise up. And she did. They just seen him take 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. We're not talking about whales. We're talking about 2 fish and feed a group of 5,000 plus people. When are they going to stop being afraid of what Jesus can do? When are they going to start being confident in what Jesus can do? This is exactly the point that the scripture wants us to get. Look at verse 52. It says they're terribly afraid. They're greatly amazed, and it tells us why. Verse 52, for they had not understood about the loaves, because their heart was hardened. Why did he bring the loaves back up right here? He brought the loaves back up right here because the dude who can multiply loaves and fishes can walk on the water. The God who created the universe can author a perfect book. I promise. I have so many people that have their doubts about the Bible. Would you stop it? Stop telling yourself you believe that God created everything, but you don't think he could create this to where it could be solid and it could be infallible? The God who can create can author. The God who can multiply loaves and fishes can walk on water. The God who you trust your soul to, you can trust in every trial you go through in your life. Because there is no bigger distance to get than a sinner to get into God's holy heaven is the longest journey in this universe. If you believe Jesus Christ can get you there through his shed blood, then you are never going to go through a trial, a tribulation, a trouble that he can't get you through. How long will our heart be dull and we'll worry about the things of this world as if God is not able to get us through everything? When will we allow our confidence just to erupt? When will our hearts say, oh Jesus, I'm so confident in you, I won't worry about anything. I don't care if it's right in my face, I don't have to worry about it because worry won't change it anyway. And I'm just going to go confidently forward in you. And if you're calling me home because of the problem I'm facing, so be it, because I trust you with my very life. Can we do that? Can we let our confidence just grow like that? And then lastly, if the church would lift up Jesus Christ, they would find that wherever people are interested and hungry, they'll be drawn to Jesus. I love this last, it just ends with this last little passage. It says, wherever Jesus went, whether he entered the village, whether he was in the country, whether he was at the intersection over here at 51 and 8, wherever people thought he was, people would go there. They would be drawn to him. Now look, we've got into this church world where we need big programs and big preachers and big all this stuff, but I promise you this, if we lift up Jesus Christ, he'll draw all people to himself. And wherever they hear he is, they went. And wherever they found him, he did for them something. I mean, not every sickness gets healed. Not every poverty-stricken person gets wealth. But I'm going to tell you, if you get Christ, you got more than what health or money could do for you anyway. There's somewhere, as his people, we need to say, he's Lord, we're not. He's our full motivation and service, and I'm so confident in him that I'm going to spend my time lifting him up, because when he's lifted up, he'll draw all people to himself, and boy, that's just an awesome thing, and that'll turn out for his glory and our benefit. Amen? Now, if you need to do any business with God, we're going to have a time of invitation, a song of invitation. During this song, if you just say, hey, I need to pray, maybe you're at that point where you're like, hey, I've been trying to tell Jesus what to do. I've been trying to fit him into my life. Do you know he's way too big for your life, right? Because he's God and you're not. So you got to find where you fit in his life, in his plan. So maybe you need to make that transition of fitting into his plan. Maybe you need to make that transition of saying, I'm going to serve him and not anybody else. Because you know what? Anybody else's are usually pretty cute, pretty fun, pretty interesting people that we try to serve instead of serving Jesus Christ. Maybe you need to make that transference. Or maybe you just need to say, give me the confidence, Lord, to be willing to put all my eggs in that basket and lift you up and count on you. This is your time. Make any decision you need to. But I'm going to promise you this. When you leave here, though the word of God's been sown, there's ravens outside ready to pick it out for those who didn't understand. There's rocky soil out there to rob your roots of growing. There's weeds out there that will choke what the word just said. If you think you need to do business with God, do it while the soil is free, rich, and deep. Amen? Let's pray. Father, thank you for loving us. Thank you for this time. I pray right now in the name of Jesus that you would do what you'd have us to do. I know and I sense you're equipping our church to do your work. And so, Father, continue that. And we love you. If there's any decisions needing to be made or I need to pray, whatever it is, just lead us in it. Lord, we do love you. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. My goodness. Hey, let me tell you, I get excited when I hear really good singing like that. I mean, it's just good. But it's not the singing that really gets me. It's when you get that point, like when you realize it was that sacrifice of the blood of Jesus that set me free. You know, I know in different churches people do it different. Some clap, some don't. Some look like they're zombies who got dressed up and drawn out just for the last day before doomsday or whatever. But here, it's okay to clap and appreciate. But look, we like, and you know, and they get those, you know, Keisha has got that birthday thing going at the end. Where it's not about that, but it like drives it home. Let it drive it home with you. That's why this is the ministry that they do, not to bring attention to themselves, but to lay the blood of Jesus up on that high pedestal through their song, that we would go, yes, and join in and say, let's praise Him because of that. Okay, that's what that's about. All right, if you are a visitor, we have a card, and Johnny probably told you already, there's a card in the front of your seat that you can fill in. We just want a record of your visit. We're going to ask the ushers if they'll come forward for the morning offering. And if you're a visitor, fill out that card and just put it in the offering plate right there along the money that you're given. No, isn't that presumptuous? Right there next to all the money that you just gave. Now, we're just glad that you're here. If that also has a place on it that says, hey, if you want to join the church or you want some communication with the pastor, you fill that out. That's where you can do that. And just put it in the plate. All right? I think that's all I was going to say. Father God, thank you for loving us. Thank you for this time, and thank you, Lord. Thank you for the blood of Jesus that sets us free. Thank you for you being awesome and in charge. Thank you when we take the reins or think we have control, you snatch it right back, and you challenge us to do something like feed these people. And Father, it's awesome. Thank you. And we're here, and we give as a way of worship, not as divine welfare for you. It's a way of worship. Thank you for allowing us to worship with our means. We love you, Lord. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. Just a couple quick announcements before we go. Please pray for our dear friend, Rosemary Smith. She is burying her mama today, and that's just hard, you know, so pray for her and her family. A few announcements, just a reminder, next week after church, we are going to be voting on our budget, and it hadn't changed much, is why it's not going to take very long, I don't imagine, but come be a part of that. We don't have many business meetings. They're rare, like dodo birds or something like that, so we're having one. So come to it. You won't see one again for a long time. Next Saturday, this Saturday coming up, there's a hockey game. If you want to go, you need to see Jack. Next Sunday night, our youth are having a movie night here. So if your kids are trying to get out Sunday night and they say they're going to go watch a movie at the church, it's legit. Okay, there's one happening. And for those who are going to go on the Beautiful Feet mission trip, which is not a podiatrist conference somewhere. You know, it's a ministry, a gospel ministry to homeless folks in Fort Worth, Texas. We really, for those who've already said they're going to go, we need to have your money. We need to have, it's $150 per person. We need to have 100 by February 1st, and probably the first Sunday in February, and the rest of it by the next, so we can pay for the buses and things like that. But also we're collecting things. We're collecting things for homeless people. So like when you go to get hand sanitizer, even if you can save 8 cents per ounce on the big jug of it, it's homeless people. It's got pocket size. Think pocket size. Whatever you get, you know, something you can carry easily. All right, we're collecting that stuff out there, but you can be a part of this mission as we go minister to a homeless population, one of the largest in the United States, in Fort Worth, Texas. And we're just going to cooperate with a church in there. The church is called Beautiful Feet, and we're going to share the gospel and just minister for that weekend, okay? But if you want to be involved in that and give some stuff, Jack can tell you what to get and all those. And if you're going, you know, be prepared, you know, to pay to go, all right? They're going to feed us, shelter us, and drive us there for $150, and that's not bad, all right? So anyways, I think that's it. I love y'all, and thank you for letting me be your pastor. Let's pray. Lord God, thank you. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for allowing us to serve you. We're not the best, but you allow it because you're gracious. And Lord, we give you our praise, and we love you, and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Ready?